A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi there, and welcome to the Explaining History podcast. Today I want to talk a little bit about the aftermath of the atomic bombs that were dropped in August 1945 on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I want to talk about this because I think there's just a much richer, deeper, and in many ways more tragic story to be told about the aftermath of the bombs than really most of the contemporary means of us understanding this through film, television, documentary and that kind of thing, gives us an understanding of. Normally you'll see a TV show about the Second World War, which will have this as really the final act of the war, and it's the last couple of minutes of the show, you know, the bomb is dropped. And there's a great deal more to be said, because it doesn't really end war in Asia in any conceivable way. What it does is it removes Japan from war in Asia. Japan is, after August 1945, is no longer a participant in any of Asia's wars. But that doesn't stop them from continuing all the way throughout the 1940s, 50s, 60s and 70s. The wars that rumble on in Asia are the first opening shots in the Cold War, but also they are anti-imperial struggles. The British were very keen to hold on to their Asian colonies, not just out of a sense of pride and a sense of kind of imperial egoism, but because these Asian colonies were going to finance Britain in her recovery. They were going to finance Britain in her future. They were going to be the means by which Britain would build her welfare state. America didn't have to worry too much about any kind of economic recovery after the war, because she had experienced a wartime boom, whereas the catastrophe, the economic catastrophe that had been inflicted upon Britain during the war was something that was going to be very difficult to deal with. And after August 1945 and the dropping of the bomb, Lend-Lease ended, which created enormous problems for Britain economically. I think there is a podcast I've done way back when on Britain's post-war economic woes, so worth listening to for a bit of background and context there. So the British were not only interested in ensuring that their own colonies were restored, but those also of their good friends, the French and the Dutch. And the British used military force to defeat nationalist movements in Indonesia, temporarily, of course, Indonesia and in French Indochina, to pave way for the return of the colonial occupiers that had been turfed out by the Japanese. So for most of Asia, from India through the crescent from Burma and Bangladesh through to Malaya and down to Singapore and across to Indonesia. And really in China as well. The bomb brought really a kind of a pause, and a very brief one. One where all the kind of dazed and devastated parties were able to have a temporary moment of taking stock before the new set of struggles for Asia began, as I've said, the next struggles that Asia would face would be those of recolonisation and decolonisation. And in many cases, there would be civil war in places such as Malaya and Korea. Battlegrounds would be, lines would be drawn, and for the coming Cold War. One of the phenomena that was widespread in both Europe and Asia throughout the Second World War was that often the only effective resistance to the Japanese or the German occupiers or Italian occupiers or whom you pick, the Axis occupiers, came from communist parties. And communist parties were often the only means by which there was any effective organisation. The British and Americans, in various instances, often preferred to support the local communist guerrillas in places such as the Balkans, on the understanding that things would get done at least. And there was always a suspicion with various nationalist monarchist guerrillas or insurrectionaries that they may well be kind of more favourable to the German or Japanese occupiers than it was previously suspected. Paradoxically, Stalin did not look favourably upon all communist partisan groups. He believed that in certain places there did not need to be a communist party or a communist government or a communist revolution. Places that were of no interest to him, such as Greece or such as Malaya, he was happy really to allow the British or the Americans to have their own way. What he didn't want was to be dragged into unnecessary disputes in the post-war era with the British or the Americans. Not that he was seeking to avoid those, but he wanted to be able to choose the ones he wished to be involved in. And certainly Stalin was not particularly keen on the idea of a rising star within Third World Communism to challenge his position. He was always wary that in largely peasant societies, an agrarian peasant version of communism might emerge, such as we see in China, and possibly as may have emerged in India. And not only was this a kind of direct contravention of Stalinist take on communism, but also there may well have been a version of communism emerged with a charismatic leader that would threaten Stalin's leadership of the communist world. So anyway, suffice to say that two kinds of conflicts emerge in Asia after the dropping of the bomb, neither of which involved the Japanese. There were post-colonial conflicts and civil wars. And these last really up to 1975 and the fall of Saigon. The thing that eventually restores Asia to some kind of economic stability is actually the resurgence of Japan by the 1970s and 1980s, and the development of tiger economies in inverted commas, such as Singapore and Hong Kong. The bomb presents the Japanese military with an extraordinary raft of problems. The first problem is the question as to what to do. Will Japan fight to the end? will Japan concede and capitulate? And it's only really the Emperor's intervention that and the assurances from MacArthur that Japan will get to keep its emperor and therefore its national identity if it capitulates. There were Japanese generals in Burma, in Singapore, in other parts of Southeast Asia who were still willing to fight on to the death. And Japanese ultras, Japanese extreme nationalists who were planning a palace coup, planning to overthrow the government and kidnap the emperor and rescind the surrender order. But a degree of sanity appears to prevail. British and Australian and American and other allied soldiers who'd been taken prisoner by the Japanese are suddenly catapulted into this surreal world where they are able to wander around Japan with relative ease. There are numerous reports of British and American soldiers disarming Japanese troops and police, of taking train rides to different cities, some even setting up small black market businesses, trading in booze stolen from hotels. There is surprisingly little kind of animosity and hatred on either side at the end of the war. But also a surprising lack of sympathy as well. It seems as if the traumas and the horrors of the war have kind of numbed both the Allied former POWs and the Japanese to any kind of engagement with one another. The Japanese soldiers who wind up surrendering to the Allies, by all accounts, make model prisoners. They are well behaved and pliant. The British find an interesting wording to their status to avoid the necessity of classing them as full prisoners of war, thus affording them their rights under the Geneva Convention. And the Geneva Convention that the Japanese had completely...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Disregarded during the war with various atrocities. The Japanese, who had been guilty of atrocities, found themselves in a very difficult situation, knowing that they were going to be taken into captivity fairly soon. Many spent precious hours hiding their handiwork, very often executing witnesses, be they allied prisoners. There were numerous reports of Allied prisoners in Japan being forced to dig their own graves, knowing that if there was an American amphibious landing, that they would all be shot. And there were other Japanese officers who hid the loot that they had stolen from the occupied territories that they were operating in. The thing that must be remembered about the treatment of Allied prisoners is that whilst films such as Unbreakable, I think that's the one with Unbroken, perhaps it is, with graphic depictions of barbaric behaviour by Japanese officers, or films like Bridge on the River Kwai, what they are showing is 1% of the violence meted out on Asia. The deaths and torment and torture of Allied prisoners was 1% of the total number of murders, atrocities, rapes and mass killings carried out by the Japanese. The other 99% were perpetrated on the ethnic peoples of Burma, Indochina, Korea, China and the rest of Asia, and the Philippines, Indonesia and all such places that the Japanese claimed that they were liberating. In the early phase of the war, there was a kind of an intellectual power struggle happening at the heart of Japanese militarism. For many decades, for several decades, really, probably since 1905, there had been a belief in Japanese liberal and intellectual circles that a war of liberation to liberate Asia was Japan's historical destiny, and that a liberal Japan was morally equipped and technologically equipped to be the kind of the new beacon of Asia, the liberator who other Asian nations would emulate and form modern governments, armies, bureaucracies and that kind of thing, and thus become an alternative to the power of Europe. By 1942, this high-minded and liberal version of Japanese nationalism has been swept away by a violent, resource-driven quest for domination, and one where, instead of Japan being the leading light of Asia, the big brother that other Asian nations will follow and emulate, Japan is an occupier, and a violent one at that. So after the bomb, there was a struggle on to deal with the consequences of Japan's occupation. One thing that the British were determined to restore was their own sense of military pride, their own sense of martial prowess. The war in Asia had been, for the most part for Britain, a series of humiliations, from the fall of Singapore and the fall of Burma to the very mixed results of the various campaigns in Burma, where Britain is pushed back almost into India. One of the reasons why Britain had such a tough time during the war in Asia, such a series of kind of false dawns, is because the majority of resources were being poured into the European theatre, and the Forgotten Army, the Bill Slim's 14th Army in Burma, was as the title suggests, largely forgotten, ignored, and overlooked, underfunded, and under-equipped. And it's only from 1943-44 onwards that equipment starts to actually flood into the region. And in 1945, after the defeat of Germany, there are sufficient ships and landing crafts for the British to launch a major operation to retake Malaya. And it's the atomic bombs that rather put the kibosh on this one. The Japanese surrender before Britain can fight her set-piece battle to take back her Asian colonies. And so the chance to have a moment of military victory is robbed from Britain. And this has serious consequences, because there was nothing as catastrophic to the British Empire in Asia as the fall of Singapore and the fall of Burma and Malaya. It was a humiliation, it wasn't just a humiliation to the British. It had drastic and terrible consequences for the Burmese, Malays, Indians and Chinese who came under the British flag. These were people who looked to the British for protection and were frankly abandoned as white Europeans fled and the British Army prioritised the rescue of white Europeans and the abandonment of their colonial subjects in the face of Japanese advance. So the kinds of things that colonial subjects looked for from an occupier, the kinds of things that Indians and Malays thought were advantageous about the British Empire were normally things such as the ability of that empire to protect them, the ability of the British Empire to prevent things like a Japanese invasion. And that was completely and utterly lost. That perception was completely and utterly lost in 1942. So it was really important that Britain be able to militarily re-establish herself. And the problem that Britain now faced in her East Asian colonies was that the humiliation of the British had totally radicalised ethnic nationalism to the extent that there had been almost a kind of a revolution, a nationalist revolution happening in places like Malaya and Burma during the war. One that the British are largely oblivious of and can't quite sort of see or perceive or understand. Various local experts, British experts who understand the Malays and the various tribes of Burma, are able to interpret this and see this, perceive this. But Whitehall, for the most part, can't really get it, and it's an inconvenience as well. So the retaking of Britain's East Asian colonies was a priority, but one made all the more difficult by the circumstances of the war. One made all the more difficult, really, by the fact that the bombs robbed Britain of any thunder. And they also showed to the British colonial subjects across Asia that there was a far more important player in town, and that is the United States of America. If the possibility of a communist takeover wasn't very appealing to large parts of Malaya, then perhaps an independent Malay Republic or an independent Burmese Republic with the backing and the patronage of the USA might be a viable alternative. Certainly, there is lots of evidence to suggest in the French side of things, that Ho Chi Minh in 1945 looked to the United States as a potential patron. They looked to the United States as a model of what Vietnam could be, an independent republic based on constitutional freedoms, and it is the rejection of Ho Chi Minh by America in the years following 1945 that makes the possibility of a shift towards the Russian camp far more likely. For more on that, I have done a podcast on France's war in Vietnam, but the Americans were extremely wary of ideas such as land redistribution, which were hugely popular throughout post-war Asia. And they were very sceptical of this and thought it smacked rather of communism. Anyway, I'll wrap that one up there. But suffice to say, the bomb really ends one phase of war in Asia, and it ushers in a new one. One which goes on really all the way to nearly the end of the 1970s. Okay, before I go, I'd just like to say a huge thank you to everybody who was at the AIM conference lecture last week at Cambridge University Union. Had a brilliant day, not least featuring myself and my rather fantastic speech on private life in Soviet Russia. And if you were there, it was great to meet you, and thanks very much, and hopefully we'll be lecturing again soon. All the best. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.